Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Scott Spears back with you on this Wednesday, February the 10th, 2021. And as I said, here it is, the exclusive interview 10 years later, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Listen for the special announcement. All right, Scott Spears here, and this is quite historic, to say the least. This is the 10-year anniversary of the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, inventing the viral video. Now, before Ted comes in here, you can see him here. He's ready to go. We've got a big announcement at the end of this show. First time here on this program, you're ever going to hear it. It's going to come at the end. But I want to say this about this man. For 10 years, he has come on any program I've done, television, radio, internet, whatever it's been, Ted has been there. He's always been a pal of mine through a lot of management, through a lot of ups, a lot of downs. We've maintained a friendship, and we've had a lot of fun over these last 10 years. And as I always say, Ted was a DJ for most of his radio career, and he has picked up the moniker, the Golden Voice. But he is so much more than a voice. He always has been. He is smart. He is intelligent. He is savvy. He is a classic, is what we call that in the radio business. When a record's good, there are records you play every day, but when it's a good record, you call it a classic. And when it comes to broadcasters, Ted Williams is a classic. Ted.
Thank you so much, Scott. I love this man's introductions. And he has done that for these full 10 years on any time, as he's mentioned, that I've obliged him in coming. I want to thank you so much for those beautiful introductions. They're timeless. They're beautiful. They're all that.
Let's go back.
Priceless.
Let's go back January 3rd, 2011, 10 years ago. Tell me about that day.
Well, that day, Scott, on the 3rd, I got a call from a friend of mine who had been listening to the Dave and Jimmy show. And Dave and Jimmy had the morning zoo on WNCI 98.7 FM. At any rate, they called me and said that they were looking for a guy who had a magnificent radio voice. His video just went viral by way of Doral Chenoweth. So with that being said, I didn't have no understanding, because viral, to me, had caused a virus in computers, you know. And from what I understand, viruses were not well received by any of the internet users. So I ignored it, and I didn't push to any favor of that. And then I also thought that it was a way that the county sheriffs could find deadbeat dads if they offered them a type of a beneficial situation, like in my case, radio. Who else but WNCI would call me and try to inquire as to my whereabouts if they weren't going to offer me a job? And the best way to catch me would have been for me to come down to a radio station and seek that opportunity. But in reality, they were catching me to charge me with unpaid child support. And that's how they did it. They would catch people, you know, give them $1 million, tell them they've won a sweepstakes of sorts. The Ohio lottery had a play. And then when you get down there, you're under arrest for all of your rearage. And I owed over $50,000 in back child support. Mm. That was enough to detain me or put me in jail and put me under a court order to pay those delinquent, court orders.
You showed up that day, and yeah. What happened?
Man, I just, Scott, I can't tell you, it was pandemonium. People were sticking cameras and microphones and all in my face, asking me the question, how does it feel to be the first viral video? How does it feel to be an internet sensation? How does it feel to have your video had gone viral? And so, you know, I had Entertainment Tonight, Inside Edition, ABC, NBC, all of their morning shows were there, late night shows were there, all of your Entertainment Tonight, all your news magazines were there, TMZ was there. I mean, it was just too much. You know, I was just I had camera, you know, people, microphones and all just running up to you. How does it feel, Mr. Williams, to have the first viral video? Please, can we get your word? How does it feel to have a viral video of, you know, that kind of thing?
I want to go back to the moment when Doral Chenoweth, the photographer, put the camera in your face that day when you were on the side of the road there.
Uh-huh.
Your line. Give us your line. What was the line?
When you're listening to nothing but the best of oldies, you're listening to Magic 106.3.
Now, where did that come from?
Well, you know, we had a station here called Oldies B97. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but in Columbus they had Oldies B97. They used to always say, when you're listening to nothing but the best of oldies, you're listening to Oldies B97. Well, I didn't want to give B97 no credit, so I stuck with the station that I started at, which was an R&B station or urban music, 106.3 WCKX. And so I just switched the call letters and the station call letters and the frequency to 106.3. So I just kept that. When you're listening to nothing but the best of oldies, you're listening to Magic 106.3. That's what I said, Magic 106.3.
When you were standing there with the sign, do you remember what was on the sign?
Yeah.
What did it say?
It said, I have a God-given gift of voice. I'm an ex-radio announcer who's fallen on hard times. Please, any help would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, and God bless. And it was just too long, you know. A lot of people got a chance to read it. Some only read half before they pulled away. You know, I'm standing at a traffic light signal. So at any given moment, somebody could start reading it, and then the light would change, and they'd move on, you know.
Now, at that point in your life, at that very moment when Doral Chenoweth came by from the Columbus Dispatch, what was your life situation? Where were you living? What was your financial situation?
I was living in the woods. I had a little area where my girlfriend and I laid our heads. You know, I had a blanket down or a sleeping bag blanket and all. And we would bed up for the night. We'd keep warm. We, you know, we just cuddled, not cuddled, but you know the word for it, balled up in a knot, you know, to keep each other warm. But I was sleeping in the woods.
So the big day comes, and you head to New York.
Yeah.
Today's show. How did you end up at the Today Show?
The producer of the Today Show was sent out on that assignment to find me. And when he found me, you know, I had many other producers, Good Morning America, the CBS Morning Show. I've had many producers approach me, but this guy, and I forget his name, and it pisses me off, very nice guy, he came up to me and said, would you like to go on the Today Show? And it seemed like he knew that the Today Show would be the show that I would be. Yes! I knew the other shows originated, point of origin was New York. But the Today Show, 30 Rock, I was on my way. They shuttled me through to get my, because I didn't have no ID. This tie is choking the hell out of me. But I didn't have any ID. I didn't have, you know, you can't fly if you don't have any identification. So they got me here. They took me to the homeless shelter that had to give me a supporting document stating that I was there. Then I'd go to the BMV to get a state identification. It took me pretty much all day, but I was on that next flight out to New York. And the only thing I could think of was going back to my hometown to see my mother. Even if I just didn't see her, well, even if I didn't even do the Today Show, you know, after all, I did the Today Show not knowing that they were going to let me do the opening credits to the show.
How did that come about? That was a big moment.
They gave me the script, and they let me play with it. They let me just go, and then I just recall doing it every morning whenever I'd hear the regular voiceover announcer do it, you know, live from Studio 1A, you know, when he would say, this is the Today Show with Matt Lauer. and Meredith Vieira, live from Studio 1A, and it seemed like I had it rehearsed already in my mind. So when I read the copy, when I looked at the script they had set for that, it was like I was at home with this. I'm going to nail this bad boy. And that's what was in my mind, to nail it. Not to take that person's job who had been doing it for years, but just to know that, let people hear my voice, and that was the best way, because I'd done it many other ways. I was like, from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza. Then I did one from Studio 1A in Rock, because see, I didn't know what my voice range was. And so I did it, I said, live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza. And they had a great engineer who moved my voice according to the script.
Mm. There's a poignant moment. You mentioned your mother. How long had it been since you had seen your mother?
18 years since I had actually physically touched that woman.
She was in her 90s at that point.
Yeah, yes.
And there's a moment.
She was 92.
In an airport. Was it an airport terminal?
No, I had been trying to call my mother for a couple of days until finally I just got really upset. I no longer didn't care about Matt Lauer, Meredith, Ann Curry, Al Roker, any of those people. I wanted to see my mother, and I was sick and tired of picking up the phone, calling her, not to tell her that I'm on my way to Brooklyn, Mommy. Guess what happened? I wanted to tell her the news. Instead, CBS went and swooned her. You know, they kept her, Miss Williams, my name is, I forgot her name, but she was the producer of the CBS morning show. And she convinced my mother, come with us. Let us wine and dine you. Let us chauffeur drive you all around the city of New York. Let us buy you a coat. Let us do whatever, because we want Ted to see you in the light that you're getting ready to see him. But I didn't know any of this. I just thought, I said, Lord, knowing how crooked and crazy people are in New York, somebody snatched that woman and was trying to keep her, you know, for a ransom or something. I don't know. They must have said, oh, that I was going to say the N-word. But that brother went viral. He's got lots of money. Get his mama, and he'll pay for her, you know, that kind of thing. That's the kind of person I was thinking. And remember, I was homeless and a thief, a crackhead, and everything for so long that I thought like the next criminal. You know, I thought that there was somebody out there that wanted to behave like that and take my mother off to the side and say, well, Mr. Williams, you want to see your mother? You got to pay $10,000, $5,000. I don't know how much they thought I made off of that video or whatever. However they thought I was making money, and I wasn't at that time. Kraft Mac and Cheese didn't come until afterwards. But they held her. And so the second night I was there, CBS had already arranged it. They had Entertainment Tonight. They had everybody's there getting their take on my mother's reunion. So I said, I'm not going on nobody's show. I don't give a flying nothing. If I don't see my mother here, I want the New York City Police Department to be involved, or at least know. And Don't ask me nothing else. I'm not answering no more questions. I'm not doing, Ted, you're going to see your mother today. Ted, you're going to, they kept promising me that. Well, lo and behold, they had me on this elevator, and they pushed it. And as we were getting close, I looked at my then manager. I started cursing. I started saying, where's she at? Where my mother at, man? I don't care nothing about this viral video crap. I'm not the golden voice. I'm not nothing. Where my mother at? And they said, she's right there. And when I saw my mother's face, I'm getting a little tearful now. I'm trying not to cry on your show. But that's all I could say was, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. That's all that. I call her Mommy. If she was right here right now, I'd say, Mommy, this is Scott Spears. But that was my mommy.
It was such a touching moment in that whole period of time. That moment when you saw your mother was replayed and replayed and replayed. It was so touching. Why was that the emotional moment? What was so balled up in there in that moment?
Because I had prayed a many day in a jail cell. I said, Lord, this is the year that I'm going to make sacrifices and better choices please let my mother live to see another year, Lord. This is going to be the year that I'm going to decide to faithfully follow you and know that you are listening to my prayer. Because every year, I would always talk to my mom, but if I couldn't tell her anything good, like, I got a job, Mom, I got anything, she didn't want to talk to me. If you don't have a job, and everybody's already told me you ain't doing nothing but standing on a damn highway corner with a sign begging for money, I don't want to hear from you. And she, on the other hand, was praying, Lord, let something happen to that child. I didn't raise him like that. He's up here amassing a criminal record. He's using crack cocaine. He's standing. He's got a girlfriend who's a whore. You know, and she's out there selling her body, and he's out here stealing from stores. Lord, am I that bad of a believer in you that you would bless me with my only child, a child that I took into my home to raise as my own? Is that what's left? Is that how I got to leave this earth, knowing that my son didn't do nothing with his life? I sent him to private school. We raised him the best way we could. Lord, so she was beginning to feel like her days were coming to an end. And why hasn't anything happened? And when I came in there and was known as the golden voice, and she left here knowing he's all right now. He's all right.
You had a very successful broadcasting career in Ohio, in other places.
In other markets as well.
Absolutely. What was the moment? What happened that threw you off the tracks that ended with you being on the side of the road that day?
Well, I in hindsight, I look back, Scott, I left a woman with four children. I abandoned my four daughters to take on a life with another woman and have four more children by her. I couldn't expect anything good to come out of my life other than the devil, which was crack cocaine. I couldn't expect, thank God I didn't get into any opiate drugs, fentanyl, heroin, Oxycontins, any kind of painkillers. Crack was the worst thing that came into my life. And I didn't expect anything because it's really haunting. And listen to me, people. It's very haunting in some people's cases to have four beautiful daughters and to abandon them and take on another family. And while you're being father to that family, your children over at the other house are suffering, are missing you, wanting you to be there, not understanding why you're not with them, and you're making another family, and you're with the new family. You know, I can only imagine how their heads were. And so I didn't expect anything good. But the turning point in my life was crack cocaine. The devil found his way. You know, it's almost like the book of Job. God said to the devil, you can do anything you want to him. You cannot take his life. But anything you want to do to him, he is not going to curse me. And Job was set to the test. And that's what I felt like. I felt like the prodigal son.
Before we get to current day, when you search your name on the internet, the name that is most linked with yours is Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
People remember that appearance.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, Dr. Phil was a good man, though.
What happened? How did that come about, and why did it hit the skids in a way?
Dr. Phil demanded a lot of radio, not ratings. He demanded a lot of ratings. He was already hooked up with Oprah Winfrey, and he hooked up with Oprah Winfrey. And for that reason alone, Oprah's, you know, got her money tied into this show. Please bring something that everybody's going to be talking about. Well, the golden voice was me. So I was his ticket as well. But he was my ticket to drug and rehab recovery center. And he sent me to a beautiful one, Scott. It was $13,000 a month to go there. I was in South Padre Island, Texas. And my girlfriend was in Manor, Texas, wasn't too far from Houston, Texas. So we went to two of the nicest treatment centers. And I believe Dr. Phil spent over $180,000 to get us both sober 90 days. Well, I left the first time. I left after 8 days, and I acquired a attorney slash manager slash PR person slash landlord slash marriage counselor slash banker slash, you know, everything. And he took all my money.
Well, this is a big question. Well, first of all, how do you feel about Dr. Phil today? If I say his name today, what comes to your mind?
Me getting pissed off. Because, you know, first of all, let me say one thing, a very less-known fact about Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil has a makeup department, and Dr. Phil doesn't want no one to see him without makeup. I smoke cigarettes. I go outside, and I smoke in the parking lot. The producing staff and everybody gets a full warning when he's close. Then they get, he's pulling up. Ted, you got to go here. You got to come on in here. Come on in here, Ted. Ted, I'm smoking a cigarette. Oh, put it out. Come on, you come back out and give us 5 minutes. When I found out that the reason why they were pulling me in was to get him in to an area where he can be not seen until he's got that makeup on. Because, I mean, that makeup is thick. That man looks like a birthday cake. I mean, he's so thick with, and then, this was the last thing I'll say, you know, so I didn't see him without makeup, you know, I abided, because I'm like, I'm in California, I gotta, in Rome, you do as the Romans do, but when I was sitting outside, I don't know if you ever seen this footage, but when I was sitting outside, Dr. Phil walked up on me. I just literally walked up on me. My back was turned. I had nothing. And he said, "Hi, Ted, I'm Dr. Phil." And I stood up and I looked at him like, I'm actually seeing this guy's on TV. I would have probably not had the same response had it been Jerry Springer or Marv Povich or somebody. But that was Dr. Phil. Finally, I got a chance to see this man. And I did like I did when I met Matt Lauer. I looked all in his face. I looked at the makeup creases, you know, the powder. You know, they put a lot of makeup on TV. They didn't, I'm fortunate enough not to have gone through that. They might do a what they call a cover stick on me. It's little sweat glands, you know, they do like, and then they'll take a little powder stuff like that to not create the shiny spots in my face. But Dr. Phil must shine all over that place because that man's makeup is that thick on his face. You could cut it off with a knife. Yeah.
One word to describe Dr. Phil today would be...
Okay.
Okay. And I just want to veer back here for a second because you brought up a name there in the last 10 years, Matt Lauer. At the time, he was the co-host of the Today Show, probably the most popular man in morning television.
I didn't want to bring him up to put him on spot. Yeah, he's had a couple sexual allegations against him, and he's been dismissed from the Today Show's roster. I'm very disappointed. Not in his actions, believe me. I still love Bill Cosby. You know, I don't love what he did. And he's paying for what he did. But as far as watching the Cosby Show, I'm going to still watch Cosby and not even think about what he did. You know, he did it way before any of this was brought. Yeah, hell of a person, you know.
You were on the
He got what he deserved, if in fact that's what he did. But he's still Bill Cosby to me.
You were on the Jimmy Fallon Show at this time, and there was some... fun made that you had a man crush on Matt Lauer.
Yeah.
How did that moment happen?
Well, you know, Jimmy's tapes in 30 Rock as well, and he was downstairs, and I was going on the Jimmy Fallon Show right after the taping of the Today Show, and everybody knew it was no secret that I was infatuated with meeting Matt Lauer, and through the whole day, through each segment, I always just admired him and whatever. If he told me, "Ted, don't look that way. I wouldn't look that way. You know, it was like he was law. He was journalist, and he was the epitome of Bryant Gumbel, or the epitome of, he was just my news person. You know, I just loved the way, I had a man crush on him. And instead, I told Jimmy Fallon, meeting Matt Lauer brought the female out in me, you know. Yeah.
Well,
I turned into a what do you call it, LGBT and all that stuff.
LGBT. Yeah. Q, we speed up 10 years. That's January 3rd, 2011. Now it's 2021, early in the year.
Yeah.
I want to talk about some things because there are some misconceptions over the last 10 years. Now, number one, you have a lot of money. You've a book deal. You've been on television.
Well, yeah, I did. Early on, I had $750,000. I was living in Dublin. I had three cars, and they were all taken away from me by a person that I hired, and he owned the property in which I lived. Well, him and I fell out, and he took all those $375,000 payable in four $93,000 checks in his bank account. I figured, well, I did enough dirt. Remember, I told you, I got three Ohio penitentiary numbers. So I just thought it was karma. But the more I think about it, the angrier I get. Even today, I could wake up with that man on the top of my mind and feel like I could rightfully go and kill him and not do a day. Then I think about rightfully kill him and do the rest of my life in jail. Because, you know, I've gone through a lot of changes since then. So I've given him the opportunity to do it. And for reasons of him doing it were selfish reasons. And his name is Brett Adams. One of the worst crackers I have ever met. Let it be said. You can edit this out or whatever, but that's one white man that I have resentment for. Now, the Bible tells me that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And that's what I'm holding on to. Because I'd like to see some harm come his way.
Now, not just the money, but you have dealt with depression issues.
Yes.
Tell people about
it. I go through clinical depression, none of which has been diagnosed, or none of which have I been medicinally dependent upon. I don't take anything for it. I try to struggle with it. I think of my dear friend Robin Williams, and I call him my friend. I've never met him, but I love Robin Williams. I love him. Rest in peace, Robin. You know, Robin had a few situations and bouts with mental health. A lot of people go around not knowing that they have mental health issues, and they just felt like, oh, today was a good day. I didn't think about my wife. I didn't think about the way I owe those bills on my kids' braces and all of those things. You know, mental health comes in many forms, and there's a lot, just like there's a lot of diabetics out here, people with diabetes that are undiagnosed. They're walking around living time bombs. And that's how I feel sometimes. Like right now, I'm going through a mental mood swing now, if you haven't noticed, when I get to talking about that man. You know? Not that I wanted to be a millionaire. Not that I should be a millionaire. But I was never given the chance because it was so ready for someone just to take the advantage of me. So I learned.
What have you learned? What is the lesson you learned from that?
I learned don't trust everybody. I learned try to do things yourself. Try to learn things. The internet, I paid people to run my Facebook, my social media, my Twitter. I still have people on payrolls, you know. But it's not like that because I'm living with a friend of mine. Right now, currently.
This is a point to make, too. Your whole story came from being a homeless man with a golden voice who overcame it.
Yeah.
But what has the living situation been like in the last 10 years?
Right now, I'm homeless. I live with a friend of mine whom I pay rent to, but I don't have a home of my own. And it's because of the fair housing laws that I'm faced with. You know, convicted felons, if they're not violent, or if they're not drug, what do they call it when they throw evictions? If you have those on your record, I've never had a drug conviction, nor have I ever had a violent conviction. But I still can't get a place to live because of that man that I just mentioned, his name, Brett Adams. You know, he's made it bad for me. And a lot of felons out there, a lot of military vets, because of evictions, and they're not violent, they're not drug enforced. And what I mean by violence, those domestic violence reports, selling drugs out of your house, selling drugs within so many feet of a school, which I'm going to get the statistics. You know why? Because I'm going to run for governor this year. You have gotten me into running for president at one point in my time, and you fed. I'm going to go for the governor's run. I'm going to talk to Governor Strickland. I'm going to talk to Mary Ellen. I'm going to get the ins and outs of politics this time around. Why? Because if Trump can become president, anybody can become a local politician. I think I could get the signatures needed to put me on a ballot. I know that I have the platform. I just want to get me a working staff, including yourself, Scott Spears, to aid me in this run for gubernatorial race.
Now, let's back this up a second. This is an important moment. This is the announcement.
Yeah, this is the announcement, that I wanted to let everybody know that I'm going to take time out this year and put forth a good effort in a run for governor.
Now, for people who don't remember, in 2015, you did come on my show. It made national attention at the time.
Yeah.
You announced you were going to run for president of the United States.
I can't have this anger issue.
No. The presidency did not turn out well. Well, why didn't that go anywhere?
I didn't follow up on it. I had went to a lot of support systems for the VA and talked to a lot of people. Other things that I couldn't take was the privatizations of prisons. Going around to these small communities and building prisons, but yet your schools have no books. You're closing schools, but you're building prisons. I just didn't understand it. So I started going around talking to mayors and city council people. You know, why is it that you're closing down these three schools, but you're talking about building three prisons? Or why is it that you go into this school and they got some outdated books? You got kids in Columbus who can't compete with the kids in the Western City School District. You know what I mean? And I'm gonna change that.
Well, there are some points to make here. Now, let's clean some of this up, because back in 2015, when you ran for president,
yeah,
you said you were an independent,
yeah,
write-in candidate.
Right.
Is that the case for this gubernatorial race? You still have no party affiliation?
No party affiliation whatsoever.
You have not. So you will not compete in the Democratic or Republican primary?
No.
So you still will stay in the middle?
That's right.
Okay. Now, your politics...
Well, if I did pursue a party, Democrat.
You would be a Democrat.
I would be a Democrat.
Now, nobody in the state, I believe there's a mayor maybe up in Cleveland who has announced on the Democratic side. We think that Mike DeWine will probably run again on the Republican side.
Yeah.
So do you see yourself competing in the Democratic primary for governor?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's the route you want.
That's the route I will probably take. Yeah.
Okay. It's hard to run as an independent.
Right.
So that being said, let's just go back here and say that
he's got me pizza falling all out of my mouth.
Well, we're having an interesting conversation here. So for people who say, you know, we saw what the presidential run was, what do you say to them about this gubernatorial run on the Democratic?
There is going to be a full-fledged group of people around me who is going to guide me, who is going to educate me in the ins and outs of running for a political office of that nature.
That being said, two questions, and then we're going to come to some issues which we're just going to dust. We're not going to get deep into these issues.
I've already given you my two platforms thus far, but go ahead.
Absolutely, but I would just want to go back to, you talked about Robin Williams, you talked about depression. A lot of people listening to this are suffering with that right now, diagnosed and undiagnosed.
Yes.
In this 10-year period, because it got too much for Robin Williams, and unfortunately he took his own life.
Yes.
Have you ever had that thought? Have you ever been suicidal?
Yeah, and as of last year sometime, I was thinking, maybe that's all that's left of this, with the pandemic and all. It kind of put another little bout of depression, because a lot of things that I've had going for me this year, including a reality television show, which was shopped by the TLC network, has caused a lot of things to be postponed and until further notice and all of those things. So I'm really pissed off about this whole pandemic freeze. It pissed me off when I heard my president, Donald Trump, sit up there and say that he decided not to tell people in the timely fashion that he did because he didn't want nobody to panic. Hell, we'd have had a good start if he'd have told us about this COVID situation right when it jumped in his face. But then he said, now I'm the one that did this. I'm so glad this election's over with.
That being said, not to become, too model in here, but how close did those thoughts about for suicide materialize?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. It was either going to be carbon monoxide or overdose.
What stopped you?
My God, the God of my understanding. Yeah, I figured if I hold on to my faith long enough, and if I sacrifice more of having these ill thoughts about Brett Adams and people who have taken from me, if I let go of those once and for all and show God that that's a sacrifice, I believe my life will change.
Running for governor, I'm just going to run down this list. You give me as much or as little as you want. The pandemic, where we are in the state of Ohio.
I think strengthening the schools would be the thing. Our kids are suffering more so than any. They can't even go on virtual education. Some of them don't have laptops. Some of them don't have computers. Some of the parents are illiterate when it comes to internet knowledge. I think we need to improve in that area. I think the social distancing is having effect. It hasn't gotten us out of line or irate about it enough to just close down and shut the city down.
How has Governor DeWine done? Because at this point, we think he will run for re-election.
Let's just say he handled it according to the way his aides wanted him to. He's got a lot of people working for him, too. He's done a great job thus far.
So overall, his whole gubernatorial run for the last 2-3 years, what grade would you give him?
I give him a B.
A B. What do you make of Dr. Acton, who may now be running for the Senate? She's now resigned her position in Columbus with her nonprofit. She is looking to run, I think, on the Democratic side for Rob Portman's seat.
I wish her luck.
Do you think she was treated fair?
No.
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 Tell me about veterans. You're a veteran.
I'm a veteran of the United States Army. Served 6 honorably served years, 3 years active, 3 years reserve. I want my veterans to have smiles on their face, both recently separated active personnel from the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps, and even our Coast Guard. And I want them to have the resources available at hand. We have a lot of depression going on post-war veterans. I'd like to deal with all those situations and get us on one big reality show called American Armed Forces.
The vaccine. Will you take the vaccine when offered?
I'm still up in the air about that. Because I just heard that Johnson & Johnson, and I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not bashing Johnson & Johnson. I just heard they have a class action lawsuit. I didn't just hear this. I see it every night on television. Have you used Johnson & Johnson products? They have talcum powder. Have you joined this class action lawsuit against Johnson & Johnson? It causes ovarian cancer. It causes this. But yet they were just approved for having the third vaccine. So I'm not going to run and take I will take the vaccine, but you can believe I'm not going to be hey, I want my vaccine.
How do you think the distribution of it has been handled by the governor?
Again, he's got people working for him. Let's just hope they do the right thing.
The homeless in Ohio.
Gotta take care of my homeless people, man. They're getting a bad, I want to get them in homes. Even if I got to find a friend of mine. The guy who makes tiny homes? I'm going to get some tiny homes together.
Not that this is an Ohio thing, but President Trump did carry Ohio pretty steadily. Joe Biden, he's been president for about 2-3 weeks now. What do you make of what he's done?
Go, Joseph. Go, Joseph. Go, Joseph. Go Kamala, Kamala.
You now sit in Jim Jordan's district. This is Jim Jordan's congressional district.
Okay.
What do you make of Jim Jordan getting the Congressional Medal of Freedom from President Donald Trump before he left?
Vote for me and I'll set you free.
What do you make of Jim Jordan as a whole? He's been in the news lately.
Let's just say I don't know too much about Jim Jordan, enough to make any comments, both good or bad, but I'm sure Marion's satisfied with him. I am too.
Okay, now here's, and I saved this for last.
Because Marion's a quiet mouth when it comes to elections, I understand.
People turn out to vote, though.
Yeah, they do.
You'll want to carry Marion.
Yeah, oh yeah, I would love to.
Yeah, this is the whole.
Go Marion, go Marion.
Now, this is important because this comes to race. In Columbus, where you live now, there's a situation, if people don't know, with a gentleman named Andre Hill who was killed.
Killed, yes.
Coming out of
by a Columbus police officer.
By a Columbus police
officer. Who didn't turn on his body cam.
Named Adam Coy, who this past week was charged by the Attorney General with murder.
Murder.
Dave Yost.
That's right.
Also, Police Chief Quinlan from Columbus, at the behest of Mayor Ginther, has resigned. Yeah. What do you make of that whole situation?
I think that was overdone. However, I'm glad they did it from that point of law, because I personally thought that the FOP was going to fight it, and they wouldn't have been charged. Now, whether they fight it in court to find that he did, it wasn't as much as they cranked up to be in terms of dereliction of duty, neglect of duty, and all of those things. That's on him. But yes. That boy was murdered. I'm glad it got to that. But now, as far as Ginther pushing people out the door and everything just for the sake of not having a riot, then you know what I mean. I think I would have done things a little more differently.
So do you?
I think he's just holding down the peace, and that's the best way to do it. Because if that cop wouldn't have been charged, or the way it's moving now, Columbus would have been off the chain.
Well, here's an interesting thing, and maybe it's our last point to talk about in this interview, and we'll definitely have you back because we're going to talk more about this run that you've announced today.
Yeah.
But we've never had Black, African American, however people want to say it, governor. We've never had a woman governor elected in the state of Ohio.
Uh-huh.
This, people believe, is a race issue, the Andre Hill issue.
Yeah.
What is it like for you? You are a celebrity without doubt, and nobody's going to doubt that. To be a Black man, what is it like?
Let's just say my hands are up, do not shoot. You know, that happens for my kids, my grandkids. I'm very, very, very phobic about the way that they carry themselves out in the streets. I hope to God that they don't get a racial profiling area of town. I don't see Marion as being a racially profiling town. But I do have, we do, Dublin, for instance, is an area of Columbus that's racially profiled. Reynoldsburg, I can point some little community or municipalities out. As a Black man, I just watch the way I walk and talk.
Have you ever encountered something like this since viral video?
In Dublin, yes.
What happened?
You don't live here. You know, what happened was my son was driving. We were there, and I think their reason for pulling us over was we went across the line. And my son wasn't drunk or nothing, but the officers tried to tell us we didn't live there. We didn't live in Dublin, and I lived right in the heart of Dublin, in a very affluent neighborhood. And I paid rent. Now, you don't live here. Listen, if you're not straight with me, I'll just give you a damn ticket, get the car towed, and then walk to your house. I live here, officer. Check it out. Go see if he... And we waited for about a half hour for this guy to go stick my keys in my place of residence.
In this 10 years, some summary questions here. Any regrets?
Many, but too many to name one.
What is your greatest asset at this point?
My kids and my girlfriend.
If you had to write a sign today, not because you're homeless, but just to write a sign to let people know how Ted Williams is doing in 2021, what would the sign say?
I have a God-given gift of voice. I'm an ex-voiceover announcer who's fallen on hard times. Please, any help would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, and God bless.
Finish this sentence. Ted Williams is...
the best damn voice in voiceover community.
Why do you feel you haven't worked more in broadcasting?
Because I choose not to. You know, I've had many offers, and I just, you know, I want some things first, and I just feel like I haven't taken care of a few things that I should be taking care of.
Is there something main on that issue?
My health.
Your health. Yeah. And how is your health right now?
Let's just say I haven't had anything diagnosed or anything. I'll put it to you this way. It's been 15 years, 20 years almost, since I've been to a doctor. Mm. Now, that says a lot, but my health is slowly going. I have allergies. I have sinus conditions. Yeah.
I want you to think about this as I wrap this interview up, Ted, because before we go, I want you to pitch.
I thought it was a half hour.
I want you to pitch why people should vote for you at this point, why people should get behind your campaign. But before we do that, what I want to say is, you know, we have had...
the golden voice is the choice. That's all I want to say.
Hey, there you go. The golden voice is the choice. But I want to say this, because through 10 years, that is a milestone and that is a landmark. It's an anniversary, however people want to define it. But I have had more fun with you, and I want people to know, because people always, you know, they come in to interview people, and they interview them, and the interview is over, and they part ways, and that's that, and so on and so forth. And we have had such...
You call me every other night.
I do.
And check on me and everything.
But we have had... You are a nice man, and I think people... Who that's gotten lost in some videos and some writings, that things that people have said about you. You've always been a pal to me, from bowling to putting on a Santa suit to showing up at 7 o'clock in the morning to going to Dunkin' Donuts. You always perform. Where does that come from? That's what I've always wanted to ask you. You are on. You don't have notes. You show up, and you may be depressed. You may be tired. You may have just rolled out of bed.
Yeah.
But it's when that mic comes on.
You bring it out of me, Scott. You bring it out of me, because you're a fine person yourself, and you're very professional with your fineness. You've always treated me with respect. You bring it out in me. That's all. You know, you got to be happy with the people you work with.
Well, you're absolutely one of the best. And looking to those people right now in Ohio,
okay,
who you're going to run for governor of this great state, what would you say to them at this particular point?
I know you want to leave me. No, I'm just teasing. Listen, we all need a change. And the change is now. We've already had what we had. Let's try something different. Let's try it now. A person that will speak for the people, with the people, and have the people right there beside them. I take pictures. I sign autographs. I talk to people. I pray with people. I hug people. I kiss people. In light of the pandemic, I still know that God is the way.
The man with the golden voice, 10 years later, Ted Williams, now running in the Democratic primary for governor in the state of Ohio. The golden voice is the choice.
That's right.
How about that? This is Scott Spears for this interview, for this day, hitting for the dugout.
Well, how about that? There you have it right here on this station. The announcement has been made, and... boy, there's going to be a whole lot to talk about there. 15 seconds left in this program, and I'll be back with Glenn Coble in 15 minutes. 10 years later, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. What an honest interview, and what a big announcement. And on the heels of that, we'll talk about it in 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics.